1 Samuel chapter 17 again tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. We will get finished with this one of these days. Maybe not too long. We might finish it tonight. I don't know how it's all going to go. But we'll see what God wants for us to do. Let's read in 1 Samuel 17. Read verse number 45 down through verse number 47 again. The Bible said, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with," this is what David said to Goliath, "Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." I would love to know his enunciation of these words. How did he say this? I think he said it with great zeal. I don't think he was whispering. I think he was right out in the open with it. The Bible said in verse number 47, not only that, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." Let's go, Lord, again tonight in a word of prayer and ask God to watch over and bless us and help us tonight to bring out the things that He wants us to bring out. I thank You, Lord, that You're God, that You watch over us. And Lord, I thank You for this passage, this Scripture that You've given to us to study. And Lord, how great it is that we might dwell upon these things for our benefit. It's not just a story, Lord. I know that David lived. But Lord, it's an example for us. I know that it is. I pray, Lord, You might help me as I bring out the message, that I might bring it out truthfully and hopefully that Your name be glorified and Your name might be honored. Forgive us now for my sin. Watch over us and keep us, Lord, close to You today. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. We're down to about verse 47 tonight. And we talked some about verse 46 today. We read all the way down through verse number 49. But we want to go back tonight, if you would, and notice in verse number 46 that David says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. I think that's talking about, mainly it's talking about us that live in this world, that we might know that there's a God in Israel. That's why the story is given to us. But there's something else. In verse number 47, he says, "And all this assembly," now I think there he's talking about the Israelites on this hand and the Philistines on the other hand. He's talking about both of them, how that they both need to know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. And God doesn't do that. David, when he went forth to fight the Philistine, fight the Goliath, he didn't have a sword on him. He didn't have any kind of spear on him. Instead, he had a slingshot and stones. Five smooth. He only carried five on it. You would think he'd need more ammunition than that. But he was trusting in God. He had that on his mind. And the Bible said that he was blessed of God. But the Bible says in verse 47, "And all this assembly." This assembly. We said this morning that the generation of Israelites that lived during this time did not know the power of God. Now, I'm not knocking them at all. I'm not saying that they were somehow failing any more than we're failing. Because we've all got to learn. We've all got to come to the place of realizing that we need to understand a few things. and that we need to have on our mind to do what God wants us to do. Look in the book of Psalms 44. I think this will clarify it more than I ever could. In the book of Psalms 44, verses 1 down through verse number, about verse number 8. Psalms 44, verse number 1 down through verse number 8. Now notice here what David writes. Psalm 44, verse number 1. He says, "We have heard with our ears, O Lord. Our fathers have told us." Is that clear? This is the way that families ought to be. Many families today are not this way at all. But David said, "I heard, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days in the times of old." Fathers have an obligation to teach their children the Word of God. Fathers ought to teach their children the Word. Fathers ought to live the Word of God. They ought to live it, and they ought to show their children the truth of the Word of God. But the Bible says in verse number 1, that the fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. And that's the way we think about it. As a young person, you know, I think of my dad and what he taught me. But when I was young, and he would teach me about harnessing a horse, that was the way they used to do it. Right? Because when I was young, you drove a tractor. Right? I mean, that's the way it was. Times change. But the Bible says in verse number 2, How that didst drive out the heathen with thine hand, and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. So he's talking there about the things that used to be. That's always good to have a memory of good things that used to be. It's always good. In verse number 3, and they got not the land in possession by their own sword. Talking about when the Canaanites were driven out of their land and the Israelites took it over. Neither by their own arm, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor on them. Look at that. David here is rejoicing because God had something for his parents. It's good when you have a godly heritage, when you can look back at the things that your parents have been blessed of God. That is good. The thing about it is, if my parents had that blessing, that doesn't mean that I have it. I need my own blessings. Read on. In verse number 4, he says, "Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob." He's turning it around now. He's saying, this is what I have learned from my father. I learned it from my dad. He taught me these things. But in verse number 3, through thee will we push down our enemy. Look at that. He changes now. He was talking about the victories that his dad had. But now, he is talking about the victories that he will have. He says in verse number 5, "Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us." And so he said, this is some things that I'm going to learn. My daddy learned some things, but things I need to learn. Sometimes, the way things used to be is not the way that it is now. Is it?
Sometimes things change. It's good for David to have a memory of what, of how God blessed his dad. But I tell you what, David has to learn the blessings of God upon him. He says, through thee will we push down our enemies, and then they will bless God. Through thy name will we tread upon them that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow. Look at that. David here is saying, I'm not trusting in my bow. I tell you what, this ought to tell us something. That when David killed Goliath, he was not trusting in his skill. When David killed Goliath, he was not trusting in his slingshot. Not at all. He was trusting in God. That's what this verse is telling. And David wrote this. He is wanting us to understand this. He says, I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. It will never do it. You can never have enough defenses to save yourself from your enemies. You can never do that. You can have enough defenses only when you're trusting God and let God save you. That's the truth. Look in verse number 7. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Selah means he changed it. The word Selah means he changed the tone there. But in this you can see in these two verses, verse 1 through 3, how that God has blessed David with a knowledge of his dad and the victories that God gave his dad. But now in verse number 4 down to verse number 8, David says, now it's my time. It's my time. You know, it's really good. It is really good when there's blessings that God has blessed you with. I mean, that is fabulous. It's different. It's different altogether. When my dad blessed my dad, that is one thing. I'm glad that God blessed my dad. I remember sometimes that God blessed my dad when he was praying that God would just give him what he needed. But it's something special when I'm in the same situation and I'm the one praying. Because when God answers my prayer, you know what? God wants us to pray to Him. God wants every generation to pray to Him. And so here in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 47, when David is saying, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. David is saying that these people, they need to learn. The generation that came out of the land of Egypt, they need to learn that God would surely bless. Just like you need to learn how God can bless. And there's nothing like it at all. I've said this before, I'll say it again tonight. If you have something on your heart, something on your mind, something that's troubling you, and nobody else knows about it, I tell you what you do with that. You take that to the Lord with it in earnest prayer, and you ask God, whatever you want to do with it, here it is. And you fix it. Did God do that? There you go. I say yes. Any more yeses? God can do that. And then you will have a private knowledge that God not only hears your prayers, but that God answers your prayer. You'll have that. And you need that as you live your life. There's a lot of difficulties that we all face. Lots of problems. And we can always rest in God when we have those, if we just trust in the Lord. This is what David's doing in Psalms 44. This is what he's saying. He says, one thing, I'm glad to hear That you blessed my dad. I'm glad that you heard. I'm glad I heard that. But beginning in verse number 5 through verse number 8, he talks about the way that God has blessed him. Boy, that's different. That's different. I mean, well, you can take that to the bank and it's worth it all. I mean, it's worth it all. If you see how God has blessed you. That's right.
God can bless. And He can do that. But look again at another place. In the book of Exodus, chapter 14. And I think you probably know this passage very well. And we won't read all of this, but some of it we will. Notice, in Exodus 14, the Bible said that the Israelites, running from the Egyptians, came up to the Red Sea. They had a problem. They were doing what God told them to do. They were leaving the land of Egypt, and they were traveling all the way. They were going to the Promised Land. But they had a problem. Because the Egyptians didn't want them to leave. They did not want them to worship God at all. And so they fought them all the way. In the book of Exodus 14 and verse number 10, the Bible said, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh," this is when Pharaoh was chasing the Israelites, "the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid." It's not that the Egyptians were sore afraid. It was the Israelites that were so afraid. They were very much terrified. "The children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the great fear." Have you ever cried to the Lord because of your great fear? That you just don't understand some things? You cry unto the Lord. And it's not wrong, because you grow thereby. The Bible says in verse number 11, "They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt that has taken us away to die in the wilderness, wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." This is called selective memory. Right? Selective. They're only remembering the good. They forgot that they trembled before the Egyptians. They forgot that they cried out to God to send somebody to take them out. It's amazing to me that a group of people like the Israelites needed a leader. But you know, we all need a leader. We all need a leader. That's what it is. We need someone to go before us. The Bible says in verse number 13, "Moses said unto the people, fear ye not." He's going back up here in verse number 10. Well, they were greatly afraid. Moses said, don't be afraid. Notice the situation here. The Israelites were facing the Red Sea on one side, mountains on both sides of them, the Egyptians behind them. They were in a tight. Moses says to them, don't be afraid. Sometimes, when God puts us in a situation, we should never be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear takes away all of our mind thinking. When I get afraid, I can't even think right. If you ask me a question and I don't have time to think about it, that means I'm nervous about it, then I get all frustrated. I don't even know what I'm thinking. I don't know if that happens to you or not, but it does to me. Moses said, don't be afraid. Stand still.
I'm thinking he said this because the people were getting pretty fidgety. Jumping around all over. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Stand still. And see. Look at this. And see. Look, you can see the salvation of the Lord. You're in the tide. You stand still. Don't be afraid. And if you don't be afraid and you stand still, then you can see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Wow. That's a big chore. Sometimes, just to shut up. Just to be quiet. I'm not supposed to ever tell anybody just to shut up. That's not very polite. I guess it is all right if I say just be quiet a minute. I guess that's all right. But sometimes we need to slow down and get off our high horse, thinking that everything goes through us, and do things the way God wants it done. Stop complaining. But I find this in verse 15. Every leader has his own private problems. Every leader. I'm going to tell you this. Every pastor has his own private problems. Every one of us do. You know why? It's because we're people. We can relate to your fears. And you relate to ours. Because we're people. We just want to serve the Lord and do what God wants us to do. He said in verse 15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me?" Why did God say that? I don't know. I really don't know why God said that to Moses. It seems like that's kind of out of context. But it may be put in there in context because what's not written is Moses cried to the Lord. It seemed like Moses had all kinds of strength here as he was leading the people. But I think Moses had problems just like everybody else has problems. I'm not knocking Moses. I'm not knocking him at all. I'm not looking down on him one bit. Not one bit. Rather, he's a man just like everybody else. God told Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." What? Wait, let me get this settled in my head just right. Because I can't go backwards, that's where the Egyptians are. I can't go on either side of it because there's hills on both sides. I mean, you check out the geography, you'll find it so. But to go forward, it means there's this water out there. Are you sure, Lord, you know what you're saying? Have you ever asked God, do you really know what you're doing? Have you ever... You would never ask God that, right? Yeah. We're just people. Because we don't know. Look, these people, these Israelites, are going to find out. This is why that David prayed for that generation of people, that they would understand the power of God. They didn't get that. When David was going before Goliath and the field was divided there, with the Philistines on one side and the Israelites on the other side, the valley between them, they had never seen that before. But they're about to see the power of God. It's good to rest and trust only in the Lord. He says in verse number 15, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward."
but lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. Moses had never seen this either. He had never seen that. And that's a big body of water. He had never seen that. He said, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. What? Surely, Lord, you are kidding me, you might say. No. God said, you stretch forth your rod, you stretch forth your hand over the sea and divide it, and that's what's going to happen. I will do that. There's power when you trust in God that you'll never have, that you'll never see. You'll never, ever, in a billion years, you'll never see it until you trust the Lord and just be still and stop moving around and don't be so anxious. Trust the Lord. He'll work things out. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do in our church, is to trust the Lord and to believe in Him and step out by faith and trust Him and do what He wants us to do. He said in verse 16, Israel shall go forth on dry ground. On the dry ground. When you got water covering land, it gets real muddy when the water's gone. But God said it's going to be dry ground. And it was dry ground. In verse 17, and I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon the horsemen. In verse 21, Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. God caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided all night. And nobody got blown away. It's a wonderful story. They had a great victory. But I want you to see, I read all of this because I want you to see this. Chapter 15 begins with what word? Then. Yeah. Then. In other words, when it was all said and done, then the Israelites looked back and they could see what God was doing. When David was in front of Goliath, the Israelites were much afraid. They were hiding back. They didn't know what to do. Saul had promised many things to the one that could have the victory over Goliath, but nobody would take the challenge. But young David did. And he was not a warrior. And he had the victory. Why? Because he trusted in God. Not because he trusted in his weapons. Not because he had a great armament. Nothing like that at all. We said this morning that the U.S. has great military might. But you can't trust your military might. You've got to trust in God. And God can work things out so that He will, and He alone will get the glory and the honor for it. God is able to move in such ways that it's inconceivable to us that it would ever work out the way that it works out. God puts things like that in front of us. He puts things, God purposely puts things there in front of us. You say, well, to stop us. No. It's to show us His great power. God wants us to trust Him and nothing else. That's really what He wants. May God help us to learn not to trust in anything else. Look at the book of Judges, chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. In this place, the Bible talks about Gideon. And you know the story, so I'm not going to read a bunch of this. But in Judges chapter 7. Judges 7. Gideon had 32,000 warriors. And he was against the Midianites, a great group of people. God says too many people. So he said, everybody should pray, go home. The Bible says that 22,000 of the 32,000 went home. It left him with 10,000. God said, that's too many. Take him down by the brook and let him get a drink of water. So he did. And out of those, God, out of that 10,000, God chose 300 men to fight the Midianites. You say, well, that plan is a crazy plan. Listen, it's God's plan. And sometimes we look at things like, that won't work. Listen, in our mind, that's the problem. It's in our mind that it won't work. But God said that it would work. So who's right? I give you two guesses, and the person, if you don't guess God, don't count. Because God, you've got to work it all out. It may be against everything we've ever known. But if it's what God wants, that's what counts. But I want you to see something. That God showed Gideon before He showed the Israelites. God showed Gideon this great, wonderful truth that he needs to trust in God and God alone. He showed Gideon first. And sometimes God does exactly that. Sometimes God shows people what He'll do. Sometimes God might show somebody else. That's fine. As long as God is showing them, that's fine. Look in the book of Judges, chapter number 6. And verse number 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. So Gideon put out the fleece with the stipulation that the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. In verse 38, and it was so. For he arose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece a bowl full of water. I tell you what, ask God. Sometimes, until you ask God, you won't get an answer. God will let you stew in your own ignorance. God lets you do that. Ask God. Go to God with it, and God will take care of it. In verse number 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. I'm going to ask you one more time a different thing. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground shall there be dew. So God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. God showed Gideon the truth. What's all this about? What am I preaching all this for? I want you to understand this. That God wants you to be sure of Him. That's what this message is about. That's in 1 Samuel 17 when when David was saying that all of this people, they need to see this. They need to see your strength and your power and what you can do. That's why I'm preaching this. That you can understand the strength of God and what, how much He can do. God can do anything. Anything. You've heard all this before. But don't let it go old. Let it be fresh and let it be anew that God can bless you. Look in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4. When you start out doing something for God, may God help you to ever do what He wants you to do. 1 Samuel chapter 14. I gave the wrong one. 1 Samuel chapter 14. First Samuel 14. Verse number 6. This is kind of a repeat because I've gone over this before, but we'll go over it again tonight because it fits here. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised." So, Jonathan is Saul's son, and Jonathan is going over to the Philistines to do battle. His dad don't know he's gone. Nobody else knows he's gone, except Jonathan knows and his armor bearer knows. He said in verse number 6, "It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint of the Lord to save by many or by few." Understand. God is able to do anything He so desires to do. Whether there is many or whether there is few. Understand that God is able to do. It don't take a lot of people to have a great victory. And Jonathan, he went and had a battle with these men. And the Bible says in verse number 14, "And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made," and notice that it calls it a slaughter, he said it was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plow. Look at that. Jonathan was given a great victory because he trusted the Lord. There's just two of them. But he trusted the Lord. Listen, can God bless you if you're just one? Hey, yeah. Say yes. Real loud so God can hear it. God can bless. Don't be thinking, we've got to have this much for God to everybody. It's not that way at all. God can bless with just a few. He can do that. Actually, look at this one. In the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Chronicles, I'm going to get it right again. 2 Chronicles, I'll get it right. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. I want you to see this. I think this is a really a fantastic thing. God can give the victory all by Himself. If it pleases the Lord, He can give the victory, and we'll see it, all by Himself. We won't have to do anything. I think I like that one, you might say. I tell you, there's nothing like serving the Lord. Nothing like it at all. Nothing like it. 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. There was a time here that the enemy came upon Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, the king of Judah. He proclaimed a fast in verse number 3. Proclaimed a fast. In verse number 4, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. That's what we ought to do. When we've got a problem, when we're facing difficulty, we ought to ask help of the Lord. God can bless. These people are asking the right one. He's going to the Lord. Lord, we need some help. He's asking the Lord. The Bible says, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So in verse 4, they asked help of the Lord, and the people came from all around to ask help of the Lord. It's not wrong. It's good. The outcome may surprise you. The outcome might surprise you. What God did on this day. The Bible says in verse number 3 that Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was afeared. He was greatly afraid. They prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told them, and I hustle down through some of this, in verse number 15. There was a prophet that came to them and said, hearken ye, verse 15, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat. So this prophet, he said, listen to what I'm saying here. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? That sometimes God's people are afraid. God don't want us to be afraid. God wants us to have confidence in Him. God wants us to step out by faith and believe what He said. So He said, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. And there's a lot of people that was against them. That's going to kill them and take over their kingdom. But God said through the prophet, He said, don't be afraid. For the battle is not yours, it's God's. But God's. Tomorrow, ye shall go down against them. Tomorrow, behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziph, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Zerah. Verse number 17. You need not fight in this battle. Why? That's kind of been an odd battle, right? He says, don't be fighting. He says, set yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not. Again, he says, don't be afraid. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow shall go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Tomorrow morning came, verse 20. They rose up early in the morning, not late, not midday. They rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear you me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe the prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he consulted with the people, here's what he did. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Now that's some way to fight a battle. That's what the Bible says though. Sometimes we read the Bible and we don't somehow comprehend that this was a real problem that these people faced. Sometimes we take these words on a page and they don't mean too much to us.
But we need to know that God is talking to us. God wants us to understand that God is well able to... And when David was standing there before Goliath, and he said, these people that are present here in this day, they don't know the power of God. They don't know what God is going to do. Listen, I'm telling you what God will do. He said, in this case, he said, you sing. The Bible said in verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. I tell you what, in verse 22, notice this, that God began to set ambushments against the people when the Israelites began to sing, not before. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, so when the people began to do what God said to do, to sing and to praise His name, the Lord set these ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. What would have happened if the people had said, we want to see it first? Where in the world is faith? We read to you how these Israelites had faith in the Lord. They had faith in what the prophets had said to them. And they believed. They believed. And they stepped out. They trusted God. And God took care of it. Can God do that? You might as well say yes. He did. He took care of it. In a great, in a fabulous way. The Bible said in verse number 24, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Can God give complete victory? He can do it. Can God take care of all the issues that are facing us? God can take care of everything. God can do it. And that is what God wants us to do. Let's read again. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 47. I guess next time we'll have to get into David killing Goliath. But I want you to see how that all this works out. It's not by David's strength that he had the victory. And it's not by our strength that we'll ever have any kind of victory at all. It's not. It's trusting the Lord. It's in our feeble efforts of just doing what God wants us to do and obeying Him. That's what God wants us to do. If God lays upon your heart to do a thing, do it. And God will bless. God can put words in mouths. God can do all kinds of things. The Bible said in verse 47, as David speaks here, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. God doesn't do things the way men do it, the way men does it. God just doesn't do that. God does things His way. And we need to be satisfied with whatever God does. That's the whole issue. The Lord does not save with sword and spear. He does other ways. You know, we live in the United States of America, great nation. I saw a graph the other day that showed the expenditures of different countries through a process of time. It was like 20 years long. It didn't take very long to go through it. This is a graph that shows lots of back and forth. But the U.S., the money that we spend on military is way, way ahead of everybody else. You say, well, that's because we're dependent on our military. And that's the issue.
That's the issue right there. Our country has forgotten God. Our country has forgotten His strength. Our country, and sometimes we as, could I say, Baptist people, have forgotten where our strength is as well. We're trusting in all kinds of things. You know who we need to trust in? Is in God and God alone. Because God can deliver things that we never even thought about. God can do things that we never even thought about. He created this world. He did it all. And if we depend upon our military, I tell you what's happening right now. And you know it. You know what's happening. We're being defeated from within. They've raised up many, many issues. But the problem is that we're not trusting God. We need to put all of our care on Him. Trust Him. God can take care of us. God can bless if you trust God. You trust God. Whatever happens, believe in God and He can bless. God does not save by what we think, but God saves with what He knows. And He knows much more than we do. God can bless. Tonight, if you're here and you're lost, we pray for you that the Lord would bless you with eternal life. Only God can save your eternal soul. Only He can do it. Our prayer is that you might see that salvation is not in the church. Salvation is not in trusting people. Salvation is when God touches your heart. Salvation is a miraculous renewing or giving of life to you. Salvation is trying to describe salvation is like trying to describe eternal life. When you say eternal, what else are you going to say? But God gives eternal life. He gives the same kind of life He has to us. We don't deserve it. But Jesus Christ can wash away your sins right there where you are right now. If you're lost, Jesus Christ can cleanse you of all your sins and make you whole. He can do it. All you've got to do is ask Him. You don't come before the church and ask for baptism. We don't do that. Well, we baptize people, but not for salvation at all. Jesus does that. And then our part of it is that you're baptized and then join church. That's what it is. If you're saved and you're not right with the Lord, I pray tonight that you might get right with the Lord, that you might yield yourself to whatever He wants you to do, that you might be found right in His own eyes. Now, thank you for your attention. Now, we'll have a word of prayer if you would, then we'll have a song. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that you might give this message power, Lord, as you know how. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you might forgive me, Lord, for my own faults and my failures in it all. Lord, I pray that you might be the one to get the glory and the honor for it all. I pray you might forgive us now, watch over us, and keep us, Lord, close to you. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. All right.